Coach number 12616 Real 3.
Mr. Fryer, Real 3. You just tell me what it looked like when you came out.
Yes, when we came out from cover, as I say, all along the high street was all down. All the shops were all down. There was hoses and wires and cables all over the place, and then everybody seemed to make their way homewards. Of course, it meant walking because there was no transport.
How did people feel in Southampton about the Germans who were doing the bombing? Did they hate them?
Well, I think they did, because if I remember the times I was home, the Germans used to come over to Southampton about 6 o'clock nearly every evening, and they wasn't bombing every evening, but they were going to the Midlands. Of course, they were using the rivers, you see, for landmarks. They were coming straight up. And they were going to the Midlands, and then we'd hear them come back, and the All Clear would go and say, thank goodness for that. But on the way back, they used to drop the odd bomb on the way back. But we used to get them quite a lot to come over here every evening. Well, I say every evening, maybe that's a little bit of exaggeration, but we used to call it every evening because we got it so often. You know, as soon as the sirens went, people used to go to the shelters. Anywhere of safety.
What were the defences in Southampton like?
Well, what I remember of it, we had mostly mobile defences. You know, in those days they used to have the mobile guns. It used to go around the town and fire at different points in the town. And people, I suppose the opposition used to get the idea that we had plenty of defences, you know, the mobile guns, you see, travelling around the city and letting off the firing.
Where was your home at the time?
My home was in a district called Beavers Valley.
Where's that?
It's hard to explain. It's not far from here, but
not far from Sholing.
It's not really far from Sholing. It's just getting there. It's awkward to tell you where it is. Do you know, have you heard of the St Anne's Hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's in that area, in that direction, of the St Anne's Hospital.
Was that area bombed heavily?
Oh, yes, it had its share. It had its share, but it was mostly the dock area, and where we are here, this was a target because you had the Supermarine. Where the Spitfire was born, here in Southampton at Walsden. And of course they got it very bad. They got it very bad, and we got it bad in town. A lot of the shops were bombed. We had one occasion where where Debenhams is now, it used to be Edwin Jones, and they had a big shelter in the park called Hoglands Park, and there was a big shelter there, and there was also a lot of Yanks in there at the time, and they had a direct hit, and they just filled it up with lime and buried them all. That was at Hoglands Park, right outside of Debenhams, where Debenhams is now.
This was after America came into the war.
Yes, yeah. And this town before before the invasion, this town was choked with American vehicles. All the side roads, you couldn't park a car. Everything was ready for the invasion. All round the avenue, that area, all the side roads were absolutely packed with Yankee vehicles.
Coming back to the Blitz, do you remember any other particular buildings or streets that were badly hit in Southampton?
Well, it was the High Street, there was the dock area, that was their targets, the dock area.
Did you think that they were aiming at military targets or indiscriminate?
Well, when the firebombs came down, I think they just dropped them. Just dropped them because we had a lot of buildings and that destroyed that way. there was a lot of areas in Southampton which was building parts of the Spitfire, so no doubt that was the targets. Like big garages, they all had their little part to play. They were making parts for this Spitfire, and you never knew where they're going to strike.
Where did you usually shelter during the bombing?
Well, when I was home, it all depends where you were, really. If I was home, we had a shelter at the corner of the street. We had the old warden used to take charge, you know, and used to get down there. And I think this is where a lot of women started smoking, myself, because they get nervous, and people used to hand their cigarettes round and. And even so, we used to be a bit brave. We used to come out of the shelter and outside and have a smoke. But it was all experience. And it's a thing I wouldn't want anybody to go through again. Not anything like that.
What was the worst thing about it?
Well, it was the uncertainty of going to bed. You went to bed of a night time, but you never knew when the sirens were going. So you had to have things handy. Your clothes, your belongings, anything of valuables, used to have it handy, you see. And used to get it handy, so it's just a matter of grabbing it and run.
How did public morale hold up during the Blitz, do you think?
Well, I think it was pretty good. I think it's pretty good because I think people looked at it here today and gone tomorrow. And I think people just rallied round and had a smile. You know, used to joke about things. Because you never knew whether you were going to wake up in the morning.
Some people say that we were all one then. Do you think that's true?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think there was that closeness with people. Because as I just said, you never knew when the sirens were going, so you didn't know whether you were going to wake up or not. So everybody was at the get-together. Everybody was for each other, you know, and people would lend and what have you. It was so easy in those days, you know, because we were all suffering the same. Everybody was treated the same. If the bombing came, you didn't know where it was going to strike.
Both rich and poor?
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody used the shelters, you see. Some people were rich enough to have their own shelters, but the majority of people used the ordinary public shelters.
What were the ordinary public shelters like?
Well, the one we went to was a corner house, or houses, and it had a cellar. So we used to go down that cellar. We were shepherded down, because that was the nearest one to home. And when you went down there, you had the makeshift toilets, you had the curtains and what have you for a little bit of privacy, but you had these old oil drums and things like that, you know, to use for your toilet. And then, because some of these old dears, they were just in awkward positions, you know, and when the gunfire was going, it upsets anybody's stomach, and you know, they had to go somewhere. But as a rule, people used to settle down, they used to play cards and what have you.
Were there some people who couldn't stand being in the shelters?
Well, I never came across that so much. I remember people were persuaded to stop in the shelters. You know, and you wasn't alone, you always had company. I think if anybody was alone, I think that they just wandered out. You know, but you had company, so you just stopped, play cards or something or other. Depended on how long it went on.
Were you in Southampton when any V weapons?
No. We used to hear them going over when they were going over London, to London. But as far as I know, I've been told that the invasion happened at the right time, because I think he had his sights at Cherbourg. He had his sights all marked out for Cherbourg, and that would have been the end of Southampton. So we missed that.
Did you ever think the Germans were going to win the war?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody did, really. We had faith in ourselves.
Not even when the Germans were winning everything at the beginning?
No, not really. I don't think so, because nobody felt defeated. No, I don't think anybody felt defeated. I think we were there to do a job, and we did it. One thing I've got to tell you, when I was on the Scythia, we took some English troops out to Egypt, to Port Tufek, I think it was. And after we discharged those, we took on a lot of Italian prisoners of war, and we were taking them to Cape Town. Anyway, on the way to Cape Town, there was a bit of sabotage went on, and they tried to set fire to the ship in different places.
How?
Hey, with K-pop. They took K-pop from the life jackets. They took K-pop from the life jackets, and they were trying to start small fires. So anyway, a lot of them had their privileges taken away from them. Wherefore, before that happened, we as crew members used to treat them to a pint at the Pig and Whistle, and give them a few cigarettes and what have you. But after this instance where they tried to set fire to the ship, we stopped all that. So we made life a bit harder for them. And when we got to Cape Town, there were six men taken out as ringleaders. And when the troops were taken off the ship at Cape Town, they were put into trucks on the quayside. But these six that were sorted out, they went in one truck on their own. So we obviously thought that they were finished, you know. And the thing about it was, we had their guards were Gurkhas, were the Gurkha troops, and they're very, very strict. And when they used to queue up for their food in the morning and that, they used to queue up in the alleyway for their food with their little billy cans or what have you. And we used to go by, and we used to throw down a cigarette end in that, you know, purposely. And you'd see this Gurkha standing there, and he'd have a cane untucked under his arm like that, and they're watching. And as they bent down to pick the cigarette up, which we purposely threw down, he used to come down with his cane and wallop them and that. And they were very, very strict with them, these Gurkhas. And that was after the incident with the forest.
You said the ringleader was a blonde?
Yes, the ringleader. This, I'm only repeating what I've been told. But the ringleader was a blonde, and a big blonde fella. And there were six of them all together. When we got to Cape Town, six of them were sorted out and taken in trucks on their own, taken in a railway truck on their own. But the other troops were all shepherded together and went in cattle trucks, where they went into a compound, I suppose, a prisoner of war camp.
Did they do much damage to the ship?
Not as I know of. It was just that they tried it.
How did the others react when the privileges were stopped?
Well, I suppose they just didn't like it, because they used to come up on deck in the morning for exercises, and they used to sit on the hold and where they could, you know, smoking and talking and what have you. And we used to give them cigarettes. So after that, we just stopped. We gave them nothing.